Broadcasting from AnyUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up. It's November 14th, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. Scott, I was enraged this week.
You are always enraged, actually. Are you more enraged, is what you're trying to say?
Yes, my enragement was escalated beyond... I was pretty upset.
Okay. All right, bad beat on a full tilt?
Well, no, but a bad beat online. I got an email.
Ah, okay.
From the Poker Players Alliance.
Right, right.
And they said, guess what Bush and his administration is trying to do? And I said, well, what?
Because we really don't care, because it's only a couple more months, right?
Yeah, well, what could he possibly
do? How much damage more can he do in three months?
What could he do to become even more unpopular? Because apparently he's the most unpopular president in the history of record keeping.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Did you ever see the movie Truman based off the book? Because, you know, I can't read the book because it would take me hours.
No, I didn't actually. Movie, no.
But, you know, when Truman left the White House, he went to the train station and no one was there to see him off because he was so unpopular.
Well,
I don't think Bush is going to be taking a train
Texas. I don't think any poker players are going to be well-wishing him. Apparently, they're trying to push through the legislation to regulate the unlawful...
Yes, the enforcement regulations.
Enforcement regulations for the unlawful...
Which have been a quagmire. And I love saying that word, too. And not just when I'm watching Family Guy. Yeah. So these, they've been hassling over these... But it's been a hassle.
It's been a hassle, clearly.
Haggling over these enforcement regs ever since this this bill was passed. And pretty much everybody says, hey, you can't... It just can't be done.
It's unregulatable. Is that a word?
Yes, it is now.
It is now. It's unregulatable, so there's no way you can do it. But they're going to try, and they're going to try to do it just like they did to introduce the damn act.
Yeah, yeah.
The midnight hour.
Yeah. Well, you know, every administration does this at the last couple months, you know, when they got nothing else to do, but... you know, just kind of pack up the boxes. They push through all kinds of controversial executive orders and things like that. And then what happens, and this is classic Washington, again, this wasn't on the I'm Just a Bill Schoolhouse Rock that we grew up with. But then as soon as the new administration comes in January 20th, they go back and rescind all the stuff that just happened the last couple months.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of a big waste of time.
Yes. Yes,
which is so unlike Washington.
Oh, no. They're mostly an efficient machine. But it enraged me enough to actually write them.
Wow.
I wrote a scathing email.
Scathing.
And
I've seen some of your scathing emails, too.
Yes, because most of them are directed at you.
Oh, yes, that's true.
But what they did was they said you can call, or you can write them, or you can email them here and all that stuff. So I emailed them because, you know, if I get somebody on the phone, I'm afraid it's going to, you know, be recorded and... You know, I can always say someone sent that email, you know. But no, really what it was is that I got the email like at midnight or something.
All right, but think about this too. I mean, if I'm a government regulator, whoever it is that you were contacting, and I'm whining about taking away my rights as an internet user, and I'm calling them on the telephone to complain. That seems kind of funny, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. It's like, you might as well use the vehicle that you're complaining about to prove how important it is. So that's why I emailed them.
Or you could call and say, hey, I wanted to email this to you, but I'm afraid that you're going to take my internet away from me. You started with poker. Where's the slippery slope going to go?
No more emails! You can't email us anymore.
But, you know, I love the name for this little transaction that they do after every administration. It's called the Midnight Drop.
Midnight Drop, yeah. Yeah,
essentially, just wait for no one's looking, and then they just drop a bunch of
which is how
cow poo.
How they did the Port Security Act, basically.
Yeah, that was a little different, but yeah, it was just as underhanded, though.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So I guess here's my point: is the Obama administration has already said that they're reviewing a number of these kind of things, including things that have been already enforced by the Bush administration, and will be ready to rescind much of them on January 20th. I have not heard that this was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're probably hopeful that it will. But regardless, again, it's going to go back to what we talked about last week, right?
Yeah.
And that it's just an irritant.
It's an irritant.
Even though it will probably be reversed in a month or two, it's just, who knows what it means?
It's something that Bactine can't cure. You know, it's a rash that's there forever. It's an incurable rash.
So, yeah, so, I guess on a macro level, I'm not too worried about this, but on a micro level, we've seen
how things could really damage our business.
Yeah.
As a podcast and magazine, you know, so it's pretty important to us.
And our recreational time.
Yeah, exactly.
When we log on to get our bad beats.
It's tied to pretty much everything we do. So, let's hope that it doesn't go through or it doesn't stick. How's that? Doesn't stick.
Yeah. Well, there's better news out there for the World Poker Tour. And sure. I tell you, they've been really in need of some good news. You know, their stock is
plummeting.
Yeah, it's down below NASDAQ levels. But they've now signed a TV sponsorship deal with Full Tilt Poker.
Yeah, and I read through that a little bit, and I guess there's going to be like an educational segment on there that Full Tilt will sponsor. And, you know, I mean, it can be nothing but good for them to have Full Tilt behind them because it's a juggernaut. You know, it's either them or Poker Stars, and if you get one of those two on there, you know, you're probably doing well. So I'm glad for them. I hope that it works out really well and that it saves them because, let's face it, the World Poker Tour is very important to us, you know, and so is Full Tilt. So they're all working together to try to save each other. So, you know, maybe they'll work together to save us too, you know. We can all join hands across America.
There are a couple things about this I thought were interesting too. One, you know, we talked about like the Mansion.net poker series on TV sponsorship and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And how those all shriveled up soon after the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act came around. So now we're kind of seeing full circle. Now finally we're getting to the point now where at least the biggest sites are saying, you know what, we're not scared anymore.
Yeah.
And companies that they do business with are saying, hey, we're not scared anymore either.
I think it's kind of unique in that, you know, the World Poker Tour has their Club WPT site, which is educational, but here they're recognizing, you know, we need some outside income, not just the own income that we're generating. So let's get Full Tilt on board. So that's it's kind of weird because they're kind of competitors in the online world.
Well, yeah, but they also, as part of this, the WPT said that they're going to be closing their online poker room for money.
Right, right.
So, but the
Club WPT is going to be open.
It's,
it's a
different
thing.
Business model. So,
yeah, it's still online poker, Scott. I mean, one's cash and one's, it's still online poker. You know, and I'm sure that they're.
But
still
they attract
looking
different
for
customers. So,
I guess so.
I don't know too many people, though there probably are some that are both on a subscription free site and a for money site.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you still win money if you're in a subscription site. You know, you're just not playing cash games. I don't know, but I applaud it. I'm glad they're getting together, and you know, can only make us stronger. You know, they have two big conglomerates like that together fighting the fight. So I look forward to seeing what they're going to do, and they might inject some fun in there too. You know, I mean, Full Tilt's been known to do, you know, like they did the Learn from the Pro stuff, and some of that was irreverent and had a lot of fun with it. So maybe they'll do some of that too, and just change up the look of the World Poker Tour a little bit as well. Who knows?
You know, maybe get a standard hostess that does not get fired every year.
You know, and that's the thing too, is you got to get inside to know if they're actually being fired or if they just have 1-year contracts and that's what they want. You know?
Okay. Well, semantics. Regardless, though, for viewers, it's a
let's get
a different briefcase every year being opened.
Okay, Howie.
All right. So I know, Chris, online, you take some bad beats and you take the bad beats badly.
No, I think
that's probably safe to say.
Well, in the past, I've gone past that now and shrug it off now, and you know, I've got this system where if I lose a lot of money, I just kind of just relax and play lower limits and whatever, but I've actually shrugged it off. I don't take it as bad as I used to. I can't believe some of the beats that I get still, but I don't whine about them on the show anymore, and I kind of just take a, hey, you know what? I wasn't going to do anything with that money anyway. Just relax and try to build your bankroll back up.
All right, so...
So I blew your whole segment.
So no. So this is the new... No, actually, you've improved this segment without even knowing it. So let's say the new Zen-like Chris that I apparently am doing a podcast with now. You're playing at a table, and somebody comes in, plays a hand, takes all your money, whether it was a bad beater or not, and then skedaddles.
Yep.
Does this take the new Zen Chris back to the old Chris that we all love?
No.
The enraged monster Chris?
No, because I do the same thing. I am a hit and run specialist.
All right, the reason I ask is we had a letter from one of our listeners, Tom from Noblesville, Indiana.
Cool name.
Exactly.
Cool town name.
Oh, I thought you meant Tom.
Oh, no.
That's a cool name, too.
Tom. His name is Tom Ray. He's got two first names.
Yeah, so he's got six total letters.
He's got one of the shortest names in American history.
Yeah, I guess you could get down to, what, four is probably the best you could do, right?
Yeah.
Unless you did, like, you know, some. Unless you're a Hollywood director like McGee or something, and you're faking your name. But anyhow, so Tom from Noblesville writes that he just tilted off nearly half his online bankroll, taking a horrible beat. We've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's employing a hit-and-run strategy where he sits down at a low-limit, no-limit table and tries to squeak out $3 or $4.
Yep.
And as soon as he does,
hits the road.
Boom.
Yep.
And so he's having a little, maybe an anxiety, maybe it's the wrong word, but
he's having an ethical issue.
Exactly. He's wondering whether he's being ethical in doing this and whether there's any ethics involved in hitting and running.
Ethics, schmethics.
I knew you were going to go with that.
I laughed when he wrote that. I emailed him back and I said, are you kidding me? I mean, really, let's put it this way. Let's say you go into a brick and mortar and you sit down with $100.
Right.
And on the first hand, you get pocket aces.
Uh-huh.
And
happens to me all the time.
Yeah. And you raise, and two other guys re-raise, and you go all in, and they all call, and you triple or quadruple
right.
up.
Right.
You know what? You're going to feel bad if you left with $400. There's no way. You know what I mean? Or you take all the money off the table, and you go to another table and buy it for $100 and take your profit. I mean, no way. I mean, yeah, sure.
See, now, all right, now you stumbled on something that I do think is probably unethical.
Nah.
And you can do it online too, but you're essentially trying to find a legitimate way to rat hole. Are you not? If you win.
No, because I'm not.
If you win, or you buy it in for 100, you quadruple it to 400, and now you table change.
I'm allowed to leave.
And then you buy in for 100 at the next table.
I'm allowed to leave.
You don't think that's wrong?
No, because if you sit at that table and don't give them the chance to play you for your money back, that's rat-holing. If you're leaving and going somewhere else and giving someone else a shot at your 100, that's not
rat-holing.
No, rat
but you're taking that 300 off
so
and
what?
Putting it in your pocket.
I want it. And leaving, though. I'm leaving that table. You have to give them a chance to win the money back. That's what makes it rat-holing. If you leave the table, you're not rat-holing. You're leaving. That is not unethical. Okay, so what if it was something else? What if you really wanted to play Omaha?
Let's say
Omaha, a table came open, and you have $400. You're like, oh, see ya. The table I want, well, now the table
but
I want
is... That's a different game.
So what?
And, or
so what?
Different,
I want to play against that Rube over there. And now that the table's open, I'm going. I want to play against him because I know he's... Just because I got lucky at this table and won $400 doesn't mean that I can't go over there and fleece that Rube that I want to play against.
Yeah, but should you not be required to take your full 400 and put it in play?
No way.
Now, of course, you couldn't do that in Florida, so you get a little nice out there.
No way, because then also it's unfair to the people at the table you're going to. I get to sit down with 400? Well, no way. That is not fair to the people you're sitting with.
If it's legal to buy in for more than 400, which is not in Florida.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Well, no, I know, but what I'm saying is
there
are min-maxes all over the place.
Exactly, but the ethics involved here is not whether you get up and leave and not give somebody the chance to win the money, though I know that's what his original question is.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether you take money off of the table and move to another table, and now it's in your pocket, and therefore not in play, and therefore not at risk anymore.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, Scott.
Oh, my gosh.
How could you possibly find something wrong with that?
I have a feeling
that several
members of the Antioch Nation will tell you why there's
something
wrong with that.
There's no way. You are not obligated to give the entire casino or card room a shot at that money you just won.
I'm not saying you're obligated to. We're asking about ethics and what is right.
Yeah, that's not unethical.
And ethics
what if you went home?
Are not laws.
What if you thought you had to go home?
That's different. Now you're leaving the entire casino.
Wait. Okay. So you thought you had to go. You're going because, you know, I know how Laura says, get your ass home. Okay. You're on your way out. And then she calls you and says, oh, you know what? We're going to stop and get something to drink on the way home from work. You can stay another hour. Now you're like, oh. And you go back. And then your table's full. So you got to do another table. Now you got to pull $400 out of your pocket because you stepped out of the building. Were you going to pull your $400 out and put it on the table?
Now
Scott?
We're getting into some shades of gray, but yeah.
No, because I think you're using shades of gray for your argument. There's no way that it's
gray.
Unethical.
There's no black and white in poker.
Those people aren't entitled to the money I had at a different table. They are not entitled to it.
No, but you're abusing the system is what I'm saying.
No, you're
not. The system should say that you earned that money at the table that should stay in play as long as you were in the casino. In a no limit. In a limit, it's a little different.
That's ridiculous. Now listen to yourself. I mean, you're telling me that no matter what I do with my money now, I have to use it completely for the rest of my time there as long as I'm in No Limit. That's bull. That's ridiculous.
All right, well, here, I'll tell you a little story from the Gold Nugget from years ago when I was out there. There was a woman, absolutely, perhaps the worst No Limit player I've seen, and I include myself in that analysis. And she was a big-time bluffer. She, you know, so she played a hand, and then she decided that she wanted to get up and join a tournament, so she gets up, and she'd done well. Her bluffs had worked. And she get up, and then she found out that the tournament wasn't going on, so she went back. And actually, it's a little different. She went back to the same table with a minimum buy-in at that point.
Well, there is a rule in place
for that. And pushed all in, and then people were upset that she didn't have the rest of the money. So,
there's a rule in place for that for a lot of casinos. There's
exactly.
So
my question is, why should there be a rule in place for just that table if you could pick up and just move to another table and
do
the same thing?
Because generally, within that time frame that they set as the rule, those players are still at that table. So they have the same right to the money that they just lost you because it's their money you're leaving with. You're sitting back down with them. They should have a shot to get their money back from you because you're in their game. Once you leave that game and sit somewhere else, they don't have a right to your money.
I'm not saying they should have the right to your money, but I'm saying
if the casino is short-sighted and doesn't set a time limit to the player, then that's one thing.
There should be a disincentive to letting people table hop. Now, online, you can't, and there's just...
Right.
That's part of the beauty of online is the anonymity and the fact that you don't have to get a table change. You can stand up and leave and go to another room. And that's what I told Tom here. I mean, it's probably a little different if you're playing heads up with someone that there might be an unspoken ethical thing where you sit down and double up from a guy and they get up and leave.
It's been times where I've gotten up and left and then was looking for a table that was juicy and then sat back down at the same table. And then it says, you were seated at this table within the last 20 minutes or 15 or whatever the time frame was. You must buy in for the amount.
Ah, see, that's great. So,
because it's the same table.
Yeah,
that's definitely a rule online. Because those people are still there, they deserve a shot at their own money if you're coming back. Because otherwise, you get rat hole.
All right.
But going to another table, there is no, especially if it's online. Online, they would say, okay, this is your session. You need to keep bringing your money wherever you go. Online could set that rule up very easily, but they don't. Why don't they? Because it's not unethical. It's your money once you leave that table.
Again, ethics and laws are two different things, which is why we have these debates.
Well, then why is it that you can't sit back down at a normal table then? Because it's a law. It's not an ethical thing.
Exactly, because they got to the point where they made a law because they said, hey, this is what it needs to be.
But they didn't make a law for the other tables. Because
not
it's
yet.
Not
that's why it's an ethic, and that's why we're talking about whether it needs to progress to the next stage.
No. If it was unethical, they would make it a law. I'm telling you, Scott, there is nothing wrong with taking your own money and leaving.
In your mind.
And going to another table and playing.
In your mind.
You're so wrong, it's not even funny. You are so wrong. It's not even funny. It's a totally different entity over there. It's a whole different universe, regardless of it being No Limit Hold'em again.
And I think you didn't want to do a point counterpoint in the magazine. This is good stuff.
I told you, this is different. This is different. It's the show. We're having fun.
All right. So we're not going to win this ethical discussion.
I do think we need to skip around a few topics here because we went way too long on this for us to keep doing all these other things we're going to talk about today. We're going to be pushing a few things back, people. It's going to be a discombobulated show. I can feel it.
Well, that's probably enough right there for people to have plenty to email us about and tell you how wrong you were. Because I know that's what's going to happen.
We won't be reading any more letters today. That's the last letter. Well, anyway, I emailed Tom and said, exactly what I just told you, that, you know what, it's fine with me. I do it. I do hit and runs online all the time. And I tend to do the same thing. I build up my bankroll really slowly that way. And then I'm like, okay, finally got some money, we'll play the big game. And then I get this huge bad beat and then go all the way back down to, you know, whatever and start over.
I like the strategy, but he obviously was wondering about the ethics.
The ethics. Okay. Well, I mean, you know.
So I think we both agree that what he's doing, I don't have a problem with. But
it
could be a problem.
Hit and run, there's no problem with hit and run. You brought up the whole sitting down at different tables crap, but whatever.
All right. Well, I think it's uncharitable to get up and move to another table, but you could probably cleanse
you really go all out for the segues.
But you could cleanse that lack of charity by actually playing any charity tournament. And Chris, you and I and Antiope Magazine have put the full force of our print behind a very excellent cause.
Not just our print, but our labor.
It's true.
Our efforts.
That's true.
We are one of the sponsors of the Par and Poker Celebrity Challenge Charity Poker Tournament that will be held at the Silks in Tampa at Tampa Bay Downs. January 29th.
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday. It's Super Bowl weekend.
That's right.
And it's going to be a $500 buy-in with unlimited rebuys for $100. And there's going to be a $200 add-on. And there's going to be bounties on celebrities' heads for $250. And some of those celebrities? Well, we got the two founders of the...
Yes,
of the,
that's true.
Joyner-Walker Foundation. Seth Joyner, Scott's hero from the Green Bay Packers and Philadelphia Eagles. And then...
Actually, technically, he's just my hero from the Packers.
That's true. I mean, yeah, you weren't happy when he was on.
No, I didn't really...
We met him,
different to him than
we had dinner with him.
Yes.
Or sort of. And he's a good guy. And Andy Walker, the NCAA golf champion. So right. These guys are going to be there, obviously. But then they got some big names, too. They have people who are committed. You know what? They got Carlton from The Fresh Prince.
Did
Alfonso
really?
Ribeiro, yeah.
Excellent.
He's going to be there dancing all over the place. He's one of them.
All right.
And, of course, they got some good players like Clyde Drexler, basketball player.
Lawrence Taylor, big LT.
Lawrence Taylor, yeah, big LT. My hero from the Giants when I was a kid. And, Brett Saberhagen and just a bunch of names. You know, you could check it out on their website, Par and Poker. Is it Par and Poker?
ParandPoker.com, and the and is spelled out. And yeah. you can go ahead and register there, too. Chris and I will be playing in the tournament. So
yes,
you can come out and...
But there's no bounty on our heads because we're not really celebrities.
Exactly. We're not really celebrities.
No.
Only in our minds.
Also, Ozzie Smith will be there, too. He's like the... Right now, the headlining star. They're going to try to get some poker players as well, poker pros.
Yep.
But it's too far out right now to.
Yeah, we got a couple more months. It's going to be Super Bowl weekend, so it's a little easier to get some celebrities.
Yeah.
But and then the proceeds benefit the Joyner Walker Foundation, which helps financial literacy for young people, which is actually a very interesting
and also
strategy.
A bunch of the money too will go to our local nonprofits here in Tampa area. So it's a good cause, and the Silks is always a fine room, and it's going to be a great tournament, I think. So we're pretty excited about it. It's the first time we ever, we're a sponsor of something, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's pretty exciting.
We're getting there.
Exciting stuff. We're helping the kids, too.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Exactly.
So that's cool. This is a little...
Yeah, it would have been nice to show up at the Par and Poker Challenge as the reigning podcastawards.com best sports podcast champion.
But that didn't happen.
It's not meant to be this year.
I like to think we finished second.
Of course, and that's what I'm telling myself, because there's no way to prove that we did not.
That's right. It was like a, what do they call those, a winner-take-all.
Yeah, exactly.
Sit and go. You know, either you win or you go home.
It was a nine-place tie for second place.
Yeah, so I think we finished second. I'm a little disappointed. I don't understand how that happened, because I voted like a million times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I know your mom voted 2 million times,
yeah.
And I voted six or seven, probably a couple people from the End Up Nation voted.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But we can't let this happen for the Bluff Award. We need to win the Reader's Choice Award again. So please, this is like another, two or three weeks left of this. We got to ask you to please go on our homepage at antiupmagazine.com. Click the link there to vote for us at Bluff Magazine, and then just fill it out and do it, because, man, we need the votes. We got to win this one. We can't relinquish the title. You know, you can't miss what you never had with the podcast awards thing.
That's true.
Okay, we wish it, but, we don't know what it's like to actually own that title. But we own the Bluff Reader's Choice Award for Best Podcast, and we don't want to give it up. So please, just take a moment. If you're jogging, jog home, log on. If you're in the commute,
or if
send
you're
yourself
joggling,
a,
right?
Yeah, joggling, that's right. Perry's joggling. Stop. Watch out for that car. And go home, log on, vote for us. Somebody out there loves us, we hope, and we'll come through, because, we got to win that award, Scott.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You got it. It's hard to stay on the top.
Well, particularly because of the smugness of our competitors.
That's right.
Bad mouthing us on their shows,
or just pretending like they don't know who we are.
Yeah,
they know who we are. So anyway, we got till December 6th to vote, but that doesn't mean you can't do it right now.
That's
go
right.
there and vote, and then find out what your parents' email is, and vote for them, and find out what your friends' emails are, and vote for them, and just fill out the form and just load it up, man. I know Zorag out there. I know he's probably he's voted for us like 100 times already,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, probably.
He's probably inventing email addresses to to do for us. So don't let us down, Zorag.
Now, Chris, you just give me some props for great segues. And, of course, I just missed one. I numbered our my cheat sheet correctly, but I did not think through the proper segues. And we were talking about the Par and Poker Challenge.
Yeah.
At the Silks.
Yeah.
In Tampa Bay Downs.
Yeah.
And obviously now we have the Ante Up Omaha Night, which we mentioned last week.
Yep.
And, boy, we need to get some support from the Ante Up Nation Tampa Bay chapter.
What happened?
Out there, because I showed up last night to play, and I was the first to sign up at 6:30, and shortly after 7, when the tournament was supposed to begin, they refunded my money.
Wow. Wow.
It was really weird, because they've been drawing 50 or so for this, and it really was like a Twilight Zone experience here last night. No one could explain why there are so few people playing in the room at all.
You know, we here at Annie Up, we've killed careers, but I don't remember ever killing a tournament. You know, as soon as they slap our name on it, no one shows up. See, they all knew you were coming. They didn't want to get there,
exactly.
I guess
there was fear how they were going to spend that $100 of mine that they were going to carve up. But you know, they're committed. They're not dissuaded. The second Wednesday of every month at the Silks will be ending up Omaha night, and hopefully we can get going. We ended up getting a sit-and-go going.
Right.
And we actually did the full tournament structure, which is kind of a weird. I've never had a sit-and-go with two breaks.
Hmm.
They probably had three breaks, but I didn't,
there for it.
Yeah, I wasn't there for it. But anyhow, get out the second Wednesday of every month and try to get my money, and hopefully you can get my money by playing. And
Scott, why were there two breaks? Why did it take so long for that sit and go?
Well...
Because it was limit.
It was limit.
And something tells me that you aren't happy playing limit poker anymore. Huh. Hi, Scott.
Now, I knew you'd pounce on that, mostly because I...
told me to.
I told you to, but I am not against Limit. Mm-hmm. I still play Limit Hold'em, mm-hmm. and I can still play Limit Omaha 8, but I have been doing so well at Pot Limit Omaha 8, and it's such a superior game to the Limit variety. I'm not ready to go to No Limit.
Uh-huh.
And certainly not Omaha. That's a terrible game. Pot Limit is, but... Uh-huh. You know, I'm starting to catch this...
the pot limit bug.
Exactly. The rush of pushing more than a prescribed amount of chips in the pot.
You don't like structure in your life.
Which
is why we left
it.
The Times and started our own magazine.
I guess that is it.
We didn't want someone telling us what to do. You don't like structure, and neither do I. So that's it. From now on, the home game, which is this Saturday, is pure no limit and pot limit only.
Yeah,
you can't
okay.
call limit games anymore.
We'll see about that.
Pot limit Raz.
No, but here's the thing with Omaha 8, it's such a slow game.
Yeah.
Even a pot limit, it's a slow game because, you know, it's split pot and, you know, you got people checking their cards, trying to figure out what they have. And the limit variety, oh my God, last night, I really thought I saw some paint dry while I was there. I got a lot of value out of that that tournament because, you know, I played for 2 hours before and was card dead, won one pot the entire time. It lasted that long. So you can do that a limit, but man.
Hey, let me ask you.
Pot limit would have gone a little quicker.
Not to interrupt your fascinating rant there, when you say a lot of value out of a tournament, is your value time or hands? Because clearly it wasn't hands. So that's a good question. Now, when you say you get a lot of value out of a tournament, is it that you get a lot of play or you get a lot of time? Because literally in that tournament, I'm sure you didn't play very many hands.
No, I did not. And that is a very good differentiation to make. But I guess if I think of it in terms of time, because if I'm not in that tournament, I am putting money at risk in another form, whether it be another tournament or a cash game.
Okay.
And therefore, my $115 lasted 2 hours there, where if I get into a $115 no-limit sit-and-go, it would not have lasted 2 hours, regardless of how well I did.
But you would have played more hands.
I would have played more hands. So, yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting thing to discuss.
It is, actually.
Perhaps that will be our point-counterpoint
in
the magazine.
See, there we go. I knew I'd talk you into it.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll think about it.
But one thing I know I don't need to talk you into is trying to be the first Ante Up podcast host to win a banana.
Yeah, next.
We both got close.
Next one's the big one. It's for No Woman Holding Me.
Yes.
It's the Double Stack $10 tournament.
Thursday night, November 20th.
Yep.
10+1.
9 p.m. Eastern Time. And the password is Ante Up, all one word. You all know this. But come out. It's Hold'em this time. We want to see how many people will play. What's the over-under? 100?
Oh, we'll have more than 100 easily.
You think so?
Absolutely.
No. Interest's been waning. We're not winning podcast award votes anymore. I think.
Bring them out of the...
maybe there's not enough listeners anymore to support the instant automatic, hey, we're having 100.
No. No Limit Hold'em brings them out of the out of the walls, you know, where the cockroaches and the rats work, you know, when you, unless you get that little thing that you plug in and you push the button in. Sends those little pulsating things around the electric currents.
So are you saying that our listeners are cockroaches and rats?
Some of them, yes.
Some of them.
We welcome along. We do not discriminate here.
We don't discriminate here.
Exactly.
We listen to all rats.
If you have 2 years, we want you. But yeah, so anyhow, the double stack, I mean, now the values are doubling. And quintupling for the main event, which is going to be December 18th, and that's going to be a horse event.
Very
24
exciting.
Plus two. So,
very exciting.
So if you're behind the player of the year race, and that is everybody but one person, this is a chance to radically change those with two last tournaments.
I'm excited, and I'll do my best. You know, it's tough. Talking about value added, you know, it's going to be tough to get value out of the tournament unless you go deep in this one, you know. And I don't know. We'll see. I'll do my best, man. I always do my best to outlast you. I haven't done too well in the last couple.
Because they have a limit. But now you're back in your...
Now I'm back into my arena.
Your wheelhouse.
My safety zone. So we'll see what happens there. And you know what I just heard? I just heard the DB dealer hotline ringing away.
Did you hear the number for it?
I actually did not hear the number, so you can actually say it if you want.
Okay. It is 813-448-1120.
And if you call us, we will send you something. Likely a deck of DB dealer cards, plastic playing cards with flames on them. They're pretty popular. People love them when they get them, so we're pretty excited about that. But this call comes from Mark from Texas, so let's listen to that.
I wanted to ask you about something that recently happened to me out in Vegas. Playing a low limit game, and the hand's not really too important. It basically got checked down and pretty passive and flipped the cards over, and I had the best hand. Well, the dealer shoved the chips over to the guy to my left. About three other people at the table said, "Hey, he didn't win. You know, this guy pointed at me." Once the guy heard that, he just jammed all his chips together. So, of course, we couldn't get the chips back from him. Dealer leans over and says, "Hey, dude, sorry about that, but I'll take care of it for you." So after a while, my wife called, told me the spot was done. I had to come pick her up. So when I went to leave, the dealer comes running over to me with a stack of chips. So I just kind of wondering about that. You think those came out of his pocket, you know, even though they really should have been mine? And, two, do you think I should have rolled that guy out of the parking lot if he took him?
Now, I want to put you in this situation, Chris, because my guess is, and I am the good cop and our good cop, bad cop, as we say, there is no way, there's no way I'm sitting at a table with the dealer push the pot to somebody else, and I just said, "Okay, sure, I know you'll get me the money back at some point." No way! So, if there's no way, I'm going to do it. I can only imagine... What that camera in the sky would be taping at the casino when it happened to you.
Scott, you are looking at the person who personally, in 2007, stopped an entire World Series event. Okay? Because they took my chips and gave it to someone else on dinner break. And I said, "You're going to the eye in the sky, pal." And I held up the No Limit $1,500 buy-in tournament, Event 49, in 2007, for like 20 minutes until they got the chip count right and they got my money back to me. So, yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you the truth, though. I mean, when I'm at the table, you know me, even in the home game, I'm like the table captain.
There's no way
my hand would be right. Whoop, I'd be right in there saying, "Where are you going with that money? That is my money. You are not." So it wouldn't even have happened no matter what. I mean, unless maybe I fell over and had a heart attack and they were pushing the pot, then it's the only way to stop me from keeping those chips from coming my way. You know,
But to our good friend Mark from Texas's question, I really don't know how to answer this because I've never seen this happen, and
it's weird.
I would not think they would come out of the dealer's pocket. I would think they'd. I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where the floor wouldn't been called over and they would have figured out the pot and took those chips from, because you can do that pretty easily, and if not, you had to go to the camera.
Yeah.
I would just never, I can't imagine a casino that would not do it that way.
That is
so I guess
weird.
I'm happy that he got his chips, and as far as rolling somebody in the parking lot.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
I certainly want to take care of this Nimrod that took my money and ran, because that's bad.
Yeah.
And I might also want to have a shot at the dealer who was kind of laissez-faire about this.
Yeah. But
then again, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
And,
so.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go to jail over a pot. But
depends how big the pot is.
Yeah, well, you could be damn well sure I'd be making a loud noise at least. But wow, that's pretty sad. I feel for you. But you know what, though? You got a deck of cards coming your way, make you feel better. And you got your money, so. But it is pretty shocking. It's pretty shocking, you know. But it all goes back to you, too. I mean, as a player and a participant, you need to, you know, make sure that you don't muck your cards. You got to make sure that you know where the pot's going. And you're, you know, always pay attention to the table.
Absolutely.
That's how I feel.
Absolutely.
Speaking of paying attention, that's what a good detective does.
Mm-hmm.
So let's listen to the part one of 1 Minute Mystery.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another 1 Minute Mystery. The Case of the Roundhouse Punch. It's a multi-table, no-limit knockout tournament, and we are only at level 2. The mid-position player calls, the cutoff calls, and the button min raises to 160. It's at this point I look down at 9-9 in the small blind. I'm going to call here. I've got a pair. I'm looking to flop a big set. And I don't expect the two limpers to come back over the top at this point.
I don't think that is enough to knock a man out cold.
The big blind calls the raised bet, and our original two limpers call, and five players are going to see a flop of 9 of spades, queen of spades, 5 of spades. Uh-oh. I flopped a set, but on an all-flush board. And we're first to act, and with so many players to the pot, I think I want to check to see how much action this board gets and possibly, hopefully, play for a smaller pot.
But there were too many witnesses, and he had to wait.
I check. The big blind checks. The mid-position player shoves all in and has everyone covered. The cutoff folds. And the button calls with his short stack, and now it's back to me.
That is a big decision.
So, do I want to play for all my chips and the big blind still to act?
Okay, so as we mentioned last week, you know, the great detective was a little drunk with success and...
probably Cristal, I'm thinking.
You know, I don't think Colombo's a Cristal guy. He's like an old Milwaukee Light or something.
I don't know. Winning a big poker tournament changes you.
Him and Phil Hellmuth hanging out at the Pure. He sent in a 1 Minute Mystery that we had already been privy to because it was in one of our magazines, because he's also a columnist for us as well. So we refrained last week, and we will this week. So let's listen to part two.
Welcome back. So, what'd you think?
Best to avoid the fireworks there.
I can usually assume a semi-bluff with an ace of spades or other higher spade here, but with a button willing to call also and a big blind that may come in on pot odds alone getting 3-1 if he's got a good draw, if I call, this is just a crazy situation. There are times where it is worth taking a risk if you think that it will create a future situation of going deep in a tournament. But this is usually reserved for the middle levels, and this is level 2. Do I really want to call two all-ins with a set when I only have 160 chips invested in this pot? Sure, I have outs, but No Limits is a situational game, and I guess this comes down to philosophy. Am I a gambler, or am I the kind of player that looks for edges?
There are all kinds of people, sir. All kinds.
All right, I'll admit it. I like to get my money in where I think I have an edge and I'm making a good decision. I don't like to gamble. If I call here, the big blind must at least consider calling at 3-1, and my set will have to beat either a made flush, a nut flush draw, possibly even a bigger set. The way this hand is going, I'm expecting to see a made flush versus the ace of spades, maybe a queen even. You know, this may seem like a big fold, but when you only have 160 chips in there, it can only be a small mistake. I reluctantly fold, and then I pat myself on the back when the big blind also shoves his stack in. Knowing the big blind is coming in, if he told you he was coming in, would that make it more of an argument to fold or more of an argument to call? I'm not even sure. Again, it comes down to philosophy. In this case, the mid-position player is going to show king-queen for top pair. The button's going to show king-king for an overpair. The big blind is going to show the ace of spades. And I quickly realize I could have got my money in here safely. The turn brings the ace of hearts, and the river brings the ace of diamonds. So we end up with queens versus kings versus aces, and the big blind, shoving, getting 3-1, wins with a pair of aces. So we would have amassed a nice set of chips had we called there.
But I still consider that a mistake.
Until next time, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com asking you, are you a gambler?
God, man, you gotta be kidding me. See, that's the thing, is you just, you know, you don't want to get involved because you have 10 outs, really, to beat a flush if somebody's got it. And, you know, I don't blame him for getting out of the way, but really, to have aces win after all that, what a shame.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? All right, tune in next week for another brand new, fresh, out of the oven, 1 Minute Mystery.
This is Jennifer Harmon at Full Tilt Poker, and I listen to Annie F.
Are you looking for different ways to build your bankroll, decrease your variance, move up in limits, or discuss strategy? GetAStake.com has your back. At GetAStake.com, you can get staked into games and tournaments, or just hang out and have some fun. GetAStake.com even has live voice chat. Sign up using the referral code ANTIUP to enjoy special promotions just for ANTIUP listeners. And read more about GetAStake.com in the November issue of ANTIUP magazine. GetAStake.com has your back.
We have a new world champion.
He's young.
And from Denmark.
He's young.
The world is getting smaller.
Phil Helmuth's not happy.
Yeah, and I wonder if Phil actually kind of ran after he found out, you know, that kind of Phil Helmuth run he has.
Oh, that run is scary. It is scary. It says, when I'm in high school, come beat me up. That's what that run says.
But congratulations to Peter Eastgate.
Yeah, Peter Eastgate.
For taking down the big title. Took him 117 days to do it.
God, but, that was... talk about getting value added for your tournament.
Now, of course, part of the allure of the delay of 117 days was that ESPN and Harris had hoped to kind of build some excitement, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But also, it helped that there's still a little gap, but there still was going to be an opening for lots of poker players to not know who the world champion was until they actually watched it on television on a two-day tape delay.
Yep.
Right?
Well, yeah, not 2 days.
Sort of.
It was like less than 2 days.
Well, yeah, but
they wrapped it up.
They started on Sunday and wrapped it on Monday and then aired it on Tuesday.
Yeah, so.
But anyhow.
The winner was on the 10th. The show was on the 11th.
Now, starting on Sunday, you did and you made it clear to me that you did not want to know who won. You were going to actually attempt to make it to Tuesday night's broadcast, despite the fact that we've invested everything we've ever made in our entire lives in a company devoted to poker. And therefore, it would be very hard for you to get through that period without hearing from somebody.
Yeah, I clearly was ignoring emails, not answering the phone. I was answering the phone like this. Hello, don't tell me who won the World Series. That's how I was doing it, basically. Because I don't want to know. And they're like, you mean you don't know the Phillies won? No, the poker.
But you succeeded, correct, Chris?
Essentially, I succeeded.
Essentially, all right.
I did know about Kelly Kim and Chino Ream that they didn't win.
That's true. You heard a couple things.
But I didn't know who won. And then one of our listeners, you know who you are, emailed us and said, wow, what a finish. Phil Helmuth must have been steaming. Yeah. And then I don't. He's talking about the pot, so I turned it off. So I didn't know what that meant at first. As I was watching it, realizing that two guys could still break his record, they were young, I thought, it's going to be either this Peter Eastgate or the other guy.
Right.
So I kind of knew in a way, and then when I got down to it, but you know what, though? To be honest, even if I didn't know, I really thought that kid was going to win anyway. Because one, they didn't show him play a lot of hands, hardly any hands. He played pretty tight. He was always first or second. And then when he did show him winning hands, I mean, he had that tournament handed to him, really, at the end. So I kind of had a feeling he was going to win anyway. I kind of predicted he would win. And then, of course, I kind of figured it out from that email. So, but no, I actually did get through all of it without actually knowing who won.
But you had to do a little deductive reasoning to figure it out.
Yeah.
You were, so lucky. And here's how I found out. I am laying in bed, slumbering. I sleep pretty hard, and all of a sudden, I'm awoken to the sound of chirping, which is my BlackBerry going off when somebody text messages me.
Yeah.
So my and I sleep pretty hard, but my wife, as you know, sleeps very lightly, and she can hear a paperclip fall off a desk in the neighborhood adjoining us and freak out and think somebody's breaking in.
Yeah.
So the entire long household, including the cat, were startled by the chirping of the BlackBerry, and I rolled over and I saw it was 5:47 a.m.
God.
Chris, and at that point, I realized the only people that I would know that would text me at 5:47 a.m. are either drunk or in jail, or both. So I figured I had to check and see what it was. Turn on the phone, and I see it's a text from our good friend Jenna Phillips, dealer of the year, who dealt the final table, and she had sent me a picture right after the winner had been crowned.
God.
But to her credit, to Jenna's credit, it just said WSOP winner in the subject line. So I'm and turned the phone off and did not look at it.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that I would succeed.
Like that was usually you're like, oh, okay. You know how you always have to have one thing bad happen before you do a big, big job or whatever. And that when that one thing gets out of the way, then you're okay. Everything else will work. So you probably thought, I'm in the clear. I dodged the bullet. I'm in the clear.
Exactly.
Something tells me that isn't the case.
But no. So I wake up and go about my business a couple hours later, and I get an email that says, Peter Eastgate, WSOP champion, from our good friend George, who is our Poker Stars ad rep. So it was a good way of finding out because we get a little extra coin in the Annie Up Kitty now. But man, it's so hard. I'm so impressed by you.
I'm sorry. Well, you know what, though? It's only because you're the ad rep for Andy Up Magazine. Otherwise, I would have found out.
That is true. That is true.
It comes with comes a price, buddy, for doing the books. So I apologize that you found out, and I was glad I didn't know. But so what'd you think of it? I know that it got you back to wanting to watch poker again, at least if not for one night.
Well, here's the weird thing is that this was the first year I did not watch any of the ESPN coverage. And not because I didn't want to, I was just kind of busy. But I felt kind of bad that I did not watch it.
Mm-hmm.
In one way, I think it actually kind of worked out. Here's the thing that there's so many people complaining about how it didn't work. I mean, some people were saying that they did like it. But it seems to be the bigger chorus as people that said it didn't work, right?
I think so. I mean, from what I've read on the blogs and forums and the Google alerts and what I'm hearing in my own head. Yeah, I think that you're probably right. I think that most people are saying it was really not that big of a deal. They probably should just let them play it out 4 months ago.
And here I think is part of it is that it was almost in one sense, a tease.
Mm-hmm.
It was, hey, let's delay this thing 117 days, build some excitement, and then you'll be able to find out sort of live on TV.
Right.
Like a real sports event.
Right.
Again,
like the Super Bowl or whatever.
So you got to get through those couple day hump. And obviously, I failed. Mm-hmm. And some other people failed, obviously. And I think that's what's really hurting people. So there's just no way that you can do this and make it a real sports event where you watch it live. I know people think you can, but you just really can't. And this is probably the best that it ever will be.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just aren't going to be happy with it. And I don't necessarily disagree with them, but I think it is a worthy experiment. And I imagine it's one that they will continue to do next year.
I don't know if they will. I know that the overall ratings up until the final table were up about 6% from what I had read. And I guess that's
good.
I guess, but 6% is not a lot. I mean, really. I mean,
yeah, but it's hard to say whether that was up because of the change in the format or whether it was just up
exactly.
In general. So there's no real way of knowing that.
Exactly. That's exactly my point.
But
so why go through
up,
all this
good.
Trouble?
You well, know what I mean? But was it trouble, though?
Sure, it was. There was a lot to it, there was a lot of trouble for this. They had to stop everything. They had to pay all these guys $900,000. They had to send them out. They had to bring them back. They had to put it in interest bearing accounts. They had to get the whole crew back out there again for November. They had to do it all in a day and a half. They had to open up the whole Penn Jillette stadium, whatever they call it. You know, and not that I knew that this question was coming, but I mean, I could think of a million things that made it a lot
all right,
of trouble.
All right,
for them.
All right. Now, I appreciate my zero sum business partner here and his zero sum way of looking at things and
absolutely
and how much money they had to spend to move things off.
Uh-huh.
But there is a reciprocal part of this that you can't quantify, and that is the increase in press coverage over these 117 days. Now, I know before you start, you already did the face. You already did the face. But before you you start yapping, because I know you don't believe that there was that much. The press coverage was not as expansive as you thought that the Harris probably thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more than it would have been had it not been. And there is some reciprocal value in that that may either justify or offset or even make it worth what they went through to delay it.
Well, let me ask you this then. Okay, now I agree that there were, because of the newness of the idea or the oddness of the idea, that there was some initial reports that got them some extra coverage. Obviously, we held it on our, we held a press conference on our show, that kind of thing. But do you really think over those 117 days, the amount of stories that were written, okay, would not have been written about those people after they had won or not won or made the final table if they just did it in regular time?
I can guarantee you.
I'm not talking about, okay, you know, there's this final table number 9 thing. I'm just saying.
Exactly. That's
why. They still would have written a story about Dennis Phillips. They still would have, when the World Series was over. The St. Louis papers or whatever would have.
Maybe Dennis Phillips. Maybe a negative story in David Green because of his conviction. And
Demidov making both final tables. He would have had a story written about him.
Yeah, but I don't know whether it would have been World Series specific. It would have been a passing part of.
Still, though, I mean, you got 117 days. That. There's 117 days there where they could do anything.
All right, but again, that's three or four. So you're still talking 5 other people that benefited greatly from this.
Well, I'm just saying that I still think that the two Canadians or however they were at the final table, I'm sure that their newspapers would have written about them making the final table.
But it's not so much the writing past tense. It is whether, and we have not seen the ratings for the actual final table yet. So we don't know how much of that news coverage actually encouraged people who really don't care anything about poker or are mildly interested in poker, which is probably a more desirable demographic. How many of them spurred them to watch because now they had somebody to root for or somebody that they... Otherwise, wouldn't have.
That was my thing, too, is I'm talking about this in a report card type thing in our magazine next issue about...
Exactly.
About, do they really gain enough from those 9 neighborhoods, really, that it made it worth... And the 117 days of occasional stories popping up about these guys. I don't know. I mean, maybe, but it just seems like it's so much to go through to get a little more coverage and a few more ratings. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, and I don't really think there's any way to really quantify. There's no way you're going to know that those ratings went up because those are casual viewers or people who have never watched it before, which is what they were striving for.
Well, they could probably do some Nielsen surveys and figure that stuff out, but still, it'd be kind of... it probably wouldn't be worth the effort. But
yeah, I don't think they will.
But I guess a couple things. One, people, I think, and partly Harris is to blame for this because they kind of said it this way. They kind of wanted to turn it into the sporting event on the lines of the Super Bowl or the World Series or the BCS.
Yeah.
And, you know, poker just cannot do that because and not because people don't care about poker or however you package it. It's just, it's a game that does not have a predictable time element. And that is the big thing that kills it.
Or a universal thing. I mean, a lot of people play poker, but like when you're talking about football, you can't compare how many people have played football, who like to watch football, who have friends who play football. You know what I mean? It's just,
well,
there's no comparison.
I think you could, actually, because there's probably a lot of people. I mean, there's 50-some million Americans, supposedly, that play poker, and then that's just America. You don't know the world. But my point is that if you go to want to televise a football game, you can block out 3.5-4 hours for it, and you know that the game is going to...
Right. It's going to end.
It's going to end in that.
Right.
And it's not going to end early. It's not going to end in an hour. It's it may go into overtime or something, but it's not going to go on all night either.
Right.
Poker, it's just so unpredictable.
Yeah.
I mean, this final table lasted a little bit more than 15 hours total. There's just no way to broadcast that.
Right.
So, and we had a great suggestion from Mike in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, who wrote to us and kind of wanted them to air it live on ESPN 8, the Ocho. And then do some cut-ins, and then when it gets down to final three, flip it over to ESPN. Now, see, that's a great idea, and it sounds good on paper, but again, it's unpredictable.
Well, yeah, the other thing, too, is when it gets to the final three, it could be 4 in the morning.
Exactly.
And no one's
the time is unpredictable. The other thing is you don't know, it's conceivable, although improbable, that you may not get down to a final three. You could have a scenario where a chip leader takes out the final three on one hand.
Exactly.
And then if you have that built up, you know, you pause it and say, hey, all right, we're going to do the final three like they did with the heads up this time.
All right.
You may not have that scenario.
A great scenario is when you think about Jamie Gold's win.
Yeah.
It got down to the final three. It could have ended on that one hand.
Exactly.
Well, when it wouldn't have, because Wasik, but really, it could have, but it did go pretty quick. It went like three or four hands after that. It was done. It was over in like four or five hands. So there's just really no magical solution to this. There's no equation to
figure out. Exactly. Even if you get down to three people too, you don't know how long it's going to last. It could, it could be over in one hand.
Yep.
Or it could go on for 9 hours.
Yeah.
Or 10
hours. And I agree. I think
so that's what's really going to kill it. It's just never going to be a sport, a television sport because of that way.
And we won't go back to the whole comparing football to poker thing because I'll blow you away. But other than that, yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I think that the way they're doing it right now, if they're going to try to do this, is the best way to do it for a pseudo-live telecast. Now, what did you think of the telecast? I thought we would talk about that a little bit.
No, I agree with you. I was completely impressed with how they were able to, how it looked exactly like all the other broadcasts did, even though they had to cram it and do everything that they normally do in a matter of hours. I mean, really.
I thought it was, you know, and that was, I guess, the biggest compliment I could pay it is that, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now, when someone's flipping through the channels and they see it on, you know, ESPN Classic, they're not going to even realize that, you know, they did this in a day, whereas the other ones had months to prepare for. It was that good, I thought. But in that same vein, I wonder, you know, did we want it to be exactly the same as everything else?
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true.
And I don't know how you would have gotten around it. I'm not suggesting anything because I don't really know what the best thing would be. But really, you're sitting there, you're building up this hype. You know, when you have the Super Bowl, they have a twice as long halftime thing. They have all the special commercials, all the fun commercials. There was none of that in this. It was just a regular ESPN broadcast. And I thought, I'm not saying that they could have done anything better or should have done anything better or whatever. I'm just saying it was surprising to me. And as I tried to get at this with Lon when I interviewed him for the magazine, I was like, you know, they're going to try to give it this live feel. What do they have in store? And he didn't even know. And the reason why he didn't know is because they didn't have anything in store, really. I mean, they made it a stadium feel and Phillips had all those people wearing his clothes and whatever, and that was kind of fun.
But you're right,
stuff.
It was still a two-hour broadcast.
It was a two-hour broadcast.
Now, I wonder, have they been different. Able to expand it to 4 hours, not do the preview show, just do 4 hours of the actual. It would have eliminated one problem, I think, a lot of our listeners said, is that there seemed to be nothing but all-ins.
Yeah.
And the reason there probably were all-ins is because it was a 15-hour event.
It was a long
crammed down to an hour and a half after commercials.
Yeah.
And so you're going to see a lot of all ins.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether they probably wouldn't have been a production improbability to expand it to 4 hours. They probably pulled out all the stops just to get a 2 hour show.
Yeah.
And make it slick. So, but maybe that's a scenario. And then the other thing I thought was interesting, we got a actually got a letter from Mitch in Youngstown too that talked about how he kind of hated the circus atmosphere and he prefers the casino and he really kind of got this wistfulness of wondering, thinking back to the Binions and before this was a big deal.
Yeah.
And I wondered out loud to him whether Harris and ESPN kind of shot themselves in the foot by having that preview show 2 hours or an hour before that kind of showed all these classic moments from, you know, Stu Unger or Johnny Chan or Phil Hellmuth and reminded you of how cool it was in the past.
Yeah.
And then showed this new slick.
Well, you know, I think that everything progresses. You know, even bowling, you know, if I want to go back to my own old roots there, and they do the same thing now. They host a lot of the final ladder, you know, step ladder finals.
Right.
They host them in, like, you stadiums now because they want to get more people in. They want to make more money. They want to make it more exciting. And I thought it was exciting. I didn't like when they had a decision to make the buzz in the background because you can't keep those people quiet.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird. But again, when you're during the undercard events or when they were showing the main event leading up, there's a lot of noise in the background because it's a whole, you got 2,000 people in there playing poker and all the riffling and it wasn't as loud. But, I kind of liked the stadium thing. I thought it was kind of cool when somebody won a pot. It was exciting, you know, when Dennis Phillips won a pot and they showed the sea of white people with their red hats on. That was pretty bizarre. That was kind of fun. That was, you know, I kind of liked that. And if you had like the stereo up, you know, and you had the TV on, you know, surround sound or whatever, you would have felt like you were right in it, you know, not that I did that, but, again, I just get back to I don't mind them progressing and doing something different like that, but to me, it just felt like a regular episode other than those moments. And I just really thought after 117 days and this, they'd make a big splash with it somehow, they'd have all of their sponsors doing different types of commercials that would entice you to watch, like the Super Bowl or something, you know, and I'm not really sure what it is.
And I think probably a closing point that I was going to make was that it was the first year.
Hmm.
You know, go back to like the first year of the Super Bowl, and they sold tickets for $6, and they had marching bands, and no one really showed up.
The big robot AFC, NFC players.
Exactly,
coming at each other.
And I'm sure people back there were criticizing it and saying, hey, this is stupid. And it needs to involve, too, and so I think the... if anything that we know, the WSOP folks, starting with Jeffrey Pollock on down, are very smart folks, and I'm sure they're already cramming now and trying to figure out what they could do better next year. So, you know, perhaps we need to wait another 2 or 3 or 5 years and then really judge whether this is the best thing.
I agree. I think that my initial report card was a knee-jerk reaction that I was writing, and I think you've inspired me to go back and look at it a little bit, maybe massage it a little bit.
I am inspirational.
Yeah, okay.
And Chris, I want to leave you with this too. If you want a piece of the WSOP final table action,
I love this.
There is an auction going on through November 24th. It is at WSOPshop.com. That's WSOPshop.com. And they're auctioning off the final table, the chips, the dealer button. And some like Milwaukee's best neon lights. I'll give them a little free pop there. But so I went there this morning and I started cackling. And my wife came back. She's like, "What are you laughing about?" The final table, the actual table they played on, has one bid right now at $25,000. And my favorite part of it, right next to it, free shipping. Because, you know, if you're going to bid $25,000 on the table, you want to, I got to calculate, can I afford the shipping on that? I don't know. I mean, $25,000, that's a good deal, but, you know, that extra, $600 in shipping? I can't do it. I'm out.
Forget it. Go to the next bidder.
But, yeah, so free shipping on that. You know, if you buy the dealer button, you're going to have to pay it the money for that. You want to reach thousands of poker players in more than 30 countries around the world? The award-winning AnteUp podcast is your best bet. Go to AnteUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335 to explore advertising opportunities starting at just $100.
And would you like to read AnteUp Magazine? Go to AnteUpMagazine.com and subscribe for just $25 a year.
Today's Hand of the Week brought to you by the good folks at GreatPokerHands.com. You can pick up a set of their starting hand strategy guards. That'll let you know what kind of hands you should be playing pre-flop in Texas Hold'em. And that is at GreatPokerHands.com. Use the code ANTI and save 20% off of your order.
Excellent.
And today's Hand of the Week comes all the way from England. Our good friend Darren over there. He is playing in a six-handed limit online game on Party Poker.
Okay.
Six-handed. And it is a $1, $2. So we let's see, it's a limit, so no one's really in danger here. The short stack is $16, so I guess that guy could probably get in.
Okay.
But everybody else probably has enough, too. All right, so our hero is under the gun and is dealt queen-queen.
Nice.
All right, and using our Great Poker Hand strategy card for six players, queen-queen is a red great hand. Doesn't Excellent. Get better than that. Well, actually Excellent. It does, but... The color.
The color is awesome.
And, of course, our hero raises here because he says it's an obvious raise despite position. The poker hands agree. Yep. I think we agree.
I agree.
It's limit. You got to build a pot, right?
Yeah.
So raises to two. The button, a couple folds, and then the button raises to three. The small blind calls. The big blind calls. And gets back to us.
Yeah, I just call. I want to see a flop before I do anything because no one's going to fold now, and you're building a pot for connectors to hunt you down. So I'll just call there, right?
Yep.
That's what I would do.
And you know what? He even talked about what you said, the small blind and big blind calls seem speculative, you know, suited aces or suited connectors. So
yeah, and they're not going to fold for another dollar, you know, or $2 or whatever. So I would just call.
Okay.
Keep the betting down. Keep the pot.
The flop, nine of hearts, two of hearts, queen of spades.
Ding, ding, ding.
Bing, bing, bing. Bingo. All right. Small blind checks. The big blind bets out $1.
I would definitely raise.
You have to raise here.
I would raise, definitely.
In a limit game, absolutely. Even in no limit, you should probably.
Yeah, you want to make the other guys have to call at least two cold bets.
Exactly, because you've got the nuts right now.
Yeah.
So let them draw out.
And the draws, too. You got two draws there that could get there if you don't make it expensive. So do the best you can. Make them pay the most.
Well, good. Our hero is agreeing with us, so we're pretty happy. And he gets to the button, and he three bets it.
That's fine for us in the sense that we're going to make more money, but hopefully he'll get the small blind out and maybe even the... Now, I doubt he'll get the big blind out, but he'll probably get the small blind out with that, right?
So, he does not.
Wow.
There's a call there. And then it is capped.
Mm, well, obviously we call.
So, yes, good. So we call, and everybody's in. No one else is going to fall for the extra. So, yeah,
so you're going to the end with this no matter what, I think.
We get a $28 pot going to the turn in a 1-2 limit game. Pretty nice.
Yeah, that's pretty huge.
All right, the turn is a 10 of spades. Ouch.
Ouch.
So now, not only do we have the heart flush to dodge on the river, and the spade flush now to dodge on the river, there is a straight possibility out there now.
Yeah. What's it, 9, 10? So someone have to have King Jack there. You have to be calling four bets with a gut shot.
Could be King Jack hearts, though. That's a possibility.
Yeah, that's true, too. All right, so unless you're putting them on that hand, it's not likely the straight's gotten there yet. But let's hope we fill up.
All right, the small blind checks. The big blind is not deterred. He continues to bet out.
Wow. He's got a. What could he possibly have? Another set? It's got to be a smaller set.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, unless he's got the King Jack of Hearts.
Or like I said, the King Jack of Hearts, and then he's kind of somewhat free rolling with the nuts right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So he bets. So now here's a tough decision for us. Our first tough decision probably this hand.
Well, all right. So the bet doubled now too. So I think that I might still try to test him. I mean, I got 10 outs if I'm behind, I think. So, but if I call, then you're looking at two other guys. So, all right, let's just call.
Okay. He raises, and I'm thinking now I can make a defense for both, but I think I might raise here because it's improbable that more people... I want to make it too expensive for some of these other draws, because obviously at this point I think people are going to think that they are behind.
Right.
And it's possible that I do have the best hands here.
Still, yeah.
And if not, I still have outs for the boat. Behind us, it is raised again.
Wow.
And call...
Holy cow.
And then a cap by our initial bettor. So, of course, we're calling here. Everybody else calls. The river, the 10 of diamonds.
So we filled up.
That's exactly what we are hoping that would happen.
The only thing we're losing to are quads.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
So the initial small blind checks, the initial raise is now all in for his last $1.37. We, of course, are going to raise here, right?
Yeah, because...
Only one hand could beat us.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, you know, if you just call hoping to get two overcalls behind you, you're only going to get, you know, a couple more bucks. Whereas if you raise, you're... So I would raise. Well, there's so much money out there anyway.
Yeah, I guess there's probably, you're right. I mean, there's probably a couple extra bucks you could pick up just by smooth calling.
Yeah, I would raise, though.
But particularly the way that it's been going, there'd probably be people that have a smaller set that are willing to put a raise
or
in
straight,
here.
Yeah. You're saying. Well, I'll raise, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. And everybody just called around, so no one re-raises us. Of course, our hero says he's surprised that people are slowing down now, but I don't know if it's a big surprise. I mean,
So there's only one hand we got to worry about is the guy who's all in.
Exactly. So we show our full house, queens of tens. The guy who was three betting often had 9-9.
Mm-hmm.
Smaller full house, that makes sense.
Yep.
And then the guy who just kept calling around.
The small blind?
Yeah, did not show. He had 7 of hearts, 10 of hearts. Three of kind. He was kind of pot committed at the end there when that 10 came. I don't know what he's doing the rest of the time. And then the guy who was leading the action doesn't show.
He obviously didn't have quads because the other guy had a 10 in his hand. So.
Yeah, exactly. We took down this pop.
Do you think he had the straight that you were talking about, King Jack?
That seems like it would make sense, right?
Yeah, I
cannot think of anything else other than maybe a set of twos. But even that,
Jack
I think, would have slowed down. No, Chris, he hit the queen of clubs, the six of clubs.
Wow.
That's the kind of limit game I like to be in.
Wow. Big pot. Nice job.
So our hero, of course, not only won a big pot, he wins a great deck of greatpokerhands.com strategy cards.
A regular hand this week.
And he is confused by somebody that plays Queen 6 that way.
That's
welcome
shocking.
To the world of low limit limit hold'em.
All right, another good show, another good hand. And I don't know, I enjoyed the World Series of Poker, and I look forward to see what they do with it next year. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the table. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.